Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press. The Parable of the Mustard Seed, continued. An optional section for those wishing to explore some of the other interpretations of the birds settling in the branches. J.C. Ryle, quoting John Chrysostom, advises, "It is not right to search curiously and word for word into all things in a parable. But when we have learned the object for which it was composed, we are to reap this, and not to busy ourselves about anything further. There is one great teaching in all three of these parables, and that is the way the Lord God is growing his kingdom. Maybe we should be content to lay hold of that, and stirred to play our part in it." Our Lord Jesus describes the mustard tree growing to such a size that the birds shelter or nest in its branches. He certainly did so to indicate the vigour of the growth and the size to which it would grow. He may have intended to convey nothing more than that. However, fertile minds have interpreted the reference to the birds settling in its branches much further. For those who wish to explore this and make their own judgment, here are some of the interpretations of the significance of the birds nesting in the branches. Some of them are clearly open to question. Others contain useful challenges and warnings for both individual disciples and for the people of God as a whole. The birds settling in the branches could represent the Gentiles lodging in the branches of God's Jewish mustard tree. From the earliest days, Gentile believers have been seen by some people as mere birds settling in the Jewish mustard tree, but not really part of it. Many of the earliest Jewish believers would only accept Gentile believers, who they recognized as being true believers, if they submitted to becoming fully Jewish. They regarded the Gentile believers as people benefiting from the Jewish mustard tree, but not actually Jewish, and therefore not actually part of the tree themselves. At the Council of Jerusalem, described in Acts chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, with Barnabas, vigorously defended these non-Jewish believers from this kind of thinking, and from those Jewish believers who would have them submit to Jewish rites and customs. As the Apostle Paul later wrote his letter to the Romans, he described Gentile believers as being grafted in, different, but absolutely part of the kingdom of God. The apostle's picture of the Jewish church as an olive tree with Gentile branches grafted in does not sit well with the suggestion that believers from the nations are mere lodgers in the kingdom of God. From the Apostle Paul's convincing defense in Jerusalem, and from his letter, the birds sheltering in the branches really cannot represent believing Gentile people. The Lord God's ultimate purpose, as the epistle to the Ephesians makes plain, is to put all things under Christ, Jew and Gentile alike. When that day dawns, all believers will be one body, and all believers will have benefited from those early Jewish believers who, led by the apostles, brought the gospel to their own people and then, as the Lord scattered them, to the Gentile world. The birds settling in the branches could be a picture of evil infesting the whole body of Christian believers. There are positive benefits of birds being able to settle in the branches of God's mustard tree, his people. But there is also a negative side, for birds can cause considerable damage to a tree. For example, some, like bullfinches, will strip a tree of the flower buds, and others, like pigeons, of the young fruits. May I invite you to explore another very widely held and respected, but, I believe, mistaken, understanding of the birds nesting in the branches. If you note that in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, the parable of the mustard tree is paired with the parable of the leaven, you may come to see them both either as parables of growth, or as parables of evil. The basis of this second understanding is that the birds eating the seed on the pathway in the parable of the sower are clearly identified by our Lord as representing the devil. Then the devil comes and snatches away the word. Add to this the Lord's warning to his disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Apostle Paul's reference to the leaven of malice and wickedness, and you have the beginning of a collection of verses that may lead you to understand that in the parable of the mustard seed, our Lord is teaching that as the kingdom of God grows, it will become riddled with hypocrisy, malice, and wickedness, and its branches will become infested with devils. Certainly, historically, there are elements of truth to be found in such an understanding. However, is this really what the Lord was teaching at the time? Could I be coming to the parable and making it fit an idea that I brought to it? Surely, a safer approach is to let the whole Bible speak for itself. Birds are by no means always a picture of evil. For example, the Lord challenged his disciples to learn from the birds, which neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet are fed. Our Lord is simply drawing attention to the way birds are fed. If our Heavenly Father feeds them, cannot disciples trust him to provide for their needs also? Or again, the Lord speaks of gathering the people of Jerusalem, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. The psalmist speaks many a times of hiding, sheltering, or taking refuge and rejoicing under your wings. But neither the Lord nor the psalmist are speaking of the devil. On each occasion, you must allow the setting to show us how the illustration is being used. The birds settling in the branches could be a picture of societies and nations sheltering and benefiting from the godly ways of the believing people of God. Ezekiel and Daniel speak of rulers of huge empires as great trees, with smaller nations as birds sheltering in their branches. Can nations and societies benefit from the godliness of the life of members of the kingdom of God? Can believing people bring enormous benefits to society as a whole? It is the calling of God's people to be salt and light in society, to work for justice and mercy, respect and a forgiving attitude, and to demonstrate these things in their own lives and attitudes. Because of this, the kingdom of heaven, outwardly expressed in the sincere, godly living of its members, will permeate, form, and reform the whole of a society. Over the years, it will transform a nation. One African president commented on his experience in his own country. You can always tell the areas where the Christians are. It's safe to travel. In that remark, he gave a perfect illustration of the birds being able to roost safely in the branches of the kingdom of God. Honesty and respect for other people and their property is one of the benefits of the kingdom of God to society as a whole. In Britain, godly natural justice and the honest dealing based on trust, a willingness to work for the common good, and a willingness to be forgiving of others are all things that flow from the true godliness of sufficient numbers of its citizens. Over many centuries, such godly ways gave this country a parliamentary system and a system of justice, education, and honest trading that have been the envy of the world. These are benefits that flow from godliness, and without godliness, they very soon evaporate. Sadly, this is something not generally appreciated by the secular governments of our own day. Indeed, ungodly folk are determinedly tearing down our rich Christian heritage. ripping the branches from the tree, and would be altogether rid of the kingdom of God and of all godly influence in school, workplace, legal justice, and the public sphere. The birds in the branches could be a picture of individual people who have not yet come to believe, sheltering among God's people. Another and challenging understanding of the reference to the birds settling in their branches is that the Lord Jesus intended to alert his hearers to the terrible possibility of being associated with the kingdom of God rather than being a vital part of it, of being present among God's people without being one of them. We could usefully ask, who flocked to our Lord in the time of his ministry, and who has settled in the branches of the kingdom of God through the running centuries? Great crowds of ordinary people came to hear the Lord Jesus and followed him from place to place. The sick and suffering, the oppressed and disabled, also flocked to him with their relatives. So did the despised tax gatherers and sinners. Clearly, some, like the tax collector Zacchaeus, truly became members of the kingdom of God. Salvation came to his house. However, the vast majority of those who flocked to him, although they loved his teaching, and many were helped and healed by him, went on their way fundamentally unchanged. Could such people be described as birds? They had rested or roosted for a spell in the branches and benefited from doing so. But they did so without ever becoming part of the kingdom of God, truly part of God's mustard tree. As our Lord said of the towns around Galilee that had seen so much of his teaching and healing ministry, they failed to repent, failed to receive and believe in him, and so in practice rejected both him and the Lord God who sent him. In our own day, thousands of us who attend our chapels and churches do so for a whole variety of reasons, often without any sense of spiritual hunger or need. We may have the great benefit of a lifelong habit of church going, or find ourselves attracted by the music, be it ancient or modern, or by an appreciation of the orderliness of things done well. We may be attracted by the sense of being in the presence of holy things, or drawn by a particularly gifted preacher. We may roost in the church because we value the company of the people who go there, perhaps because of their generosity in a time of need, or hoping to find true friendship and sympathy, a marriage partner, or even a career or good business contacts. These are all real benefits offered by roosting in the Lord God's mustard tree. However, being part of even the most dynamic of churches does not actually, of itself, mean that we have humbled ourselves before Almighty God or believed and submitted to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and so really become a member of the kingdom of God. At a far more serious level, from church history, it's clear that some able and well-meaning people who settled in the church can cause serious damage to those who are truly part of Christ's mustard tree. For if such people, birds, who are not actually part of the God's kingdom, consider themselves so comfortable and settled that they begin to assume positions of leadership among God's people, then his people are in great trouble. God's true people will be led further and further from the root and stem. They will be persuaded that there is no need for a close personal bond of repentance towards God and faith in his anointed Son, the Lord Jesus, or need of a humble, willing obedience to his teaching and to that of his chosen apostles. These birds will offer another gospel, one far less demanding and more suited to their considered opinions, the world around them, and their way of life. They will also appoint like-minded birds to positions of authority and be inclined to exclude those who do not share their views. We look further at these things as we come to explore the second of this pair of parables, the parable of the leaven. A personal look at the birds settling among the branches of God's people. The Lord alone knows who are his and knows the secrets of our hearts. Yet, there is a challenge here for each one of us. There is a time to humbly and prayerfully examine ourselves, asking for the Holy Spirit's enlightening, to show us, in the light of Scripture, our own true standing before Almighty God. Are we truly members of the kingdom of God? Or are we only members of the church? Birds roosting in the branches. Surely it is an alarming thought that it is possible to be merely a bird, even as a church dignitary or a minister. A horrifying possibility that we can be a bird as a respected church officer or as one of those who are active members and regularly attend. After a visiting speaker had shown a video and spoken in a Christian home for older people, an elderly resident spoke privately to him and said, "I love it here, and they all think I'm truly a believing Christian. But I know that I'm not. Can you help me?" The Holy Spirit had shown that man that he needed to be a member of the kingdom of God, and not just a bird roosting in its branches. And the speaker was able to lead him to the mercy of God and to true faith in the one who told this parable. Heavenly Father, by the Holy Spirit, open our eyes and ears to hear the warnings of these understandings of the birds settling in the mustard tree. Enable us to humbly examine our own hearts and underlying assumptions before you, and in the light of your word, lest before you and too late we find ourselves to have been birds, passengers or lodgers, enjoying the external benefits of the kingdom of God, but not actually members of it. By your grace and forgiveness, cause us to be vitally connected by repentance and by faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Full of gratitude and joy, may we be truly caught up in your purposes and actively part of your worldwide kingdom, your mustard tree.